a cancer that has no cure. Been putting up a long fight and still can't kill me. Talking with the devil, knocking at his door. He's walking down his hallway that always filled me. That always filled me. Well, I don't wanna walk down the streets of this town, trying to see more clearly, but everything's dark brown. Living off a school child's profession, being told I've been blessed with a blessing. So am I the root of all this misery? No question nor confession. You have all the time to get it right, but you lay there, afraid of putting up the bigger fight. So you stay there, and you stay there, you're an experienced one. You know what it's all about, baby, you can dive in, or you can dip out. Familiar COVID zone and your college, your home, it's not enough to make you feel okay there, yeah. Yeah. We got a guest in the room tonight, Lisa Simpson. See, you've been using bad intelligence, abusing all that's relevant. You gotta dive inside an open mind. Now, instead of choosing negligence, you say you're digging for a new life, and that there's nothing left to do in life. So at some point, I suggest you check yourself. Instead of thinking that you're heaven sent, you have all the time to get it right. But you lay there, afraid of putting up the bigger fight. Oh, so you stay there, you're an experienced one. You know what it's all about, oh, baby, you can dive in, or you can dip out from your comfort zone. And you call it your home, it's not enough to make it feel more okay there. Questioning life, but I'm kept up late awake, fearing the other side. Indulging in my madness, my mind begins to sing, begins to sing. And it's sad that we have to hide, it's a shame we even have to try to decide. Is it a sin or is it really just a part of what they want us to think? They want us to think. You have all the time to get it right, but you lay there, afraid of putting up the bigger fight. Oh, so you stay there, oh, so you stay there. You're an experienced one, you know what it's all about. Oh, baby, you can dive in, or you can devour. But may your comfort zone and your couch at your home, it's not enough to make you feel low, okay there. It's not enough to make you feel okay there.
Woohoo! Well, all right.
Okay, we're here. Why am I not hearing myself, Greg?
Yeah.
Hello, hello, hello.
Can you, I hear you.
Okay, all right. I can't hear me. All right, so Alan Estes is here. I'm Rick
great.
Moore.
Yeah.
This is Unfinished Music and Black. What's it called now? Black Sheep
Stampede.
Wow.
And Alan Estes is your host.
Well, hey,
come right up to the mic, Alan.
Hosting and hi, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Good to be here. Good to be here. So that first song that you folks did usually is the opening recording song for your shows, but since it's the actual band that's here that did it. You're doing it live.
Right. So all the Unfinished Music fans have heard that intro for about 10 seconds for the last year, but now they got to hear the whole song.
Yeah, it was actually the intro when I was on the show myself, so I do remember it. Lay There, right?
Yeah, for a long time it was Unfinished Music, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, the funny story is Paul B. over here brought it here in Beachbrook Studios. We've been playing together for a long time. Started in high school back in the 80s, but we've been recording original stuff here for a long, long time. And we brought in Ricky, who added lyrics to the song that we had kicking around since 2012. And the funny thing about the lyrics is, Ricky?
So I actually, without having to change like the melody or arrangement or anything, I recorded, or no, we never recorded, but it's from an old band of mine years ago I played in called Diamond Dolls.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I was like, you know, I'm not doing anything, but I love this song, and it fits with the chords you play, so I'm just going to... And it's about procrastination.
Very cool. Now, is this kind of the norm for the way you folks write songs?
Usually either Greg or I have a musical idea, and then we bring it over and then intro it to Paul, and then Aurora will come in and play the drums on it. I think the one we were fooling around with was probably the first one we did all together. We just kind of jammed some stuff together.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Do you ever, like, sit down and just... Maybe somebody has just a little piece of an idea and you all collaborate?
Paul's the one who has to be brave enough to do that in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not be brave enough, but he's the one who does it. And it's like, oh, I guess we're writing a new song now. This is cool.
Yeah. Well, we should take just a second and tell you who Black Sheep Stampede is. We got Ricky Diamond on the vocals.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Paul Brancaleone on guitar.
Hello.
Greg Verga on bass.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And Aurora Desmond on drums.
Hey, everyone.
Yeah, so everybody will be talking here, so not sure who's going to be talking about what. But, you know, with songwriting, collectively, again, do you decide when it's finished and ready to maybe either play out live or to think in terms of recording?
Yeah, I think so when we come up with the ending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Beginning and the ending.
The endings always seem to be the thing, you know, okay, we're going to end this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we get to the ending, yeah.
And it's kind of the band origination is sort of a little unorthodox because we got together. Like I said, Paul and I had been writing stuff. And we were looking for a drummer and a singer. And so Ricky came in and started writing lyrics. And then he says, can my friend come over? She plays drums. And it's like, next thing you know, we had a band. Because the original plan was to just have a recording project.
I see.
And now, but we've made a conscious decision that we want to do just originals. So we're not like up to a full night at... playing out for 3 hours.
Okay, so you folks aren't doing covers at all at this point?
No.
Okay. Are you playing out locally so people can come see you?
Yeah, yes, yeah. We actually have a Rumline, well, upstairs from the Rumline gig coming out. June 10th. Yeah.
Upstairs in the newly refinished Rumline.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it yet, so I'm excited. Yeah.
Last week we were in Somerville, so... Played in Somerville last week.
Yeah, we don't want to spread ourselves too thin, Alan.
but the thing at the Rum Line, it's actually Anchor Arms, another local band, is joining us for a night of all original music.
Uh-huh.
And we're actually going to be, it's to celebrate the release of our single, which we'll get to later in the show.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So at this point, when you play out, you're doing like one set of original material, so it's more like a concert, like a show.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so as you know, Alan, you know, club owners, they pay for cover bands. They don't pay for original music.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we're not going to hear Country Roads or The Gambler or anything
right,
like
no,
that.
Right, no.
You might.
But unless you come up. Then we'll
throw. Yeah, if the money's right, we'll do it.
Yeah, right. Well, are you guys you want to do another song?
Oh, I don't know, yeah.
You're going to try to fit in as many as you can, I think.
We like doing songs.
Yeah.
All right, let's...
Might do us, if it's good enough.
Yeah. Black Sheep Stampede.
Couch Surfer.
Yeah.
Let me fix my FX. High tech, yeah. Okay.
Lunar landing?
Yeah. Trying to figure out where to put the camera.
Eagles walking in the day, looking for a place to stay. Eyes
they wander through the crowd, but these streets are never loud. Why not? Bill is out to find a friend, invitations never send. Looking for another soul to cast out this inner troll. Help me now. He's not a captor, but he's got it together for now. For sure, says a border, but his life's out of order, and he makes it through. But how? Holding on to what's ahead, hanging by a little thread. Wishing for the turnaround, begging for a bigger sound. Loud, loud, loud. Louder than a sonic boom, shatters windows in the room. Pow, pow, pow. Faster than the speed light, all I wanna do is fly. Is that all out? He's not a couch surfer, he's got it together for now. Now, for sure, self-supporter, still his eyes out of order, and he makes it through. But how, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Whoa, I don't know. No, I don't know. No, I need another spot. I need another hope. Time to get on the clock. This gig is getting old. I want my chili dog. I want my bag of smoke. Whoa, I gotta have it all. Get up, it's time to go. Whoa, I don't know. No, ooh, no, no, no. Whoa.
Yeah, well, all right.
They have an ending for that one.
Yeah.
They got an ending. That's good.
That one's finished.
All right.
That one's finished, yes.
Greg, I just have to ask you to stand back a little bit more so I can get your drummer in here. I can't get her on the video.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
A special finished music edition.
Trying to fit this camera here. So I got to ask Alan. Alan, when you're watching these groups and you do your show, do you somehow... I don't want to use the word get a report card, but do you critique the bands? Do you hear certain things? Do you make certain notes in your mind? Because you're asking questions about this, that, and the other thing. But I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, okay, they're good at this, they're good at that, they've got this thing. You do that as you listen to these performers?
You know, when it comes to especially, original music, there's so many varied forms. There's so many different styles. And so I usually try to just go with... you know, who's ever doing well, and, you know, locally, especially, you know, with my show, it's more local music scene, but once in a while I get to snag somebody that's coming into town to play at the Shaolin Lou or just played at the Cabot or something like that in Beverly. But, you know, it's a lot of it, you know, for me is when I listen to people, I like them to talk about, you know, kind of how they got to where they're at, like, because you have to be influenced by somebody, you know, and what you kind of, what struck you enough to make you want to do the same thing, what made you want to sit down, learn how to play guitar, learn how to play drums, start writing songs. You had to be inspired by, you know, usually a bunch of different, you know, acts or whatever to come up with that. Is that something you guys want to talk about? I mean, you know.
Yeah, my mom, when I first started taking guitar lessons, my mom, the guitar teacher, told them, don't waste your money.
Yeah,
he's not going to get it. And I really had a hard time playing cover songs. I think the first song I had to learn was Sweet Melissa.
Oh, yeah. And he taught it to me.
And then I taught it to Greg. Yeah. And then we said, you know what? Let's write our own songs.
Yeah.
Oh, but go back. So what did that do to your ego? What did, because you didn't stop.
Oh, no. My mom now
put the chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But I always had a more of a penchant to write my own music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, around. Absolutely. Were you a big Allman Brothers fan back in the day?
No, it was not at all.
Not at all, huh?
Yeah, no. Who are you? So who were your influences for music-wise?
Music-wise, for me, I would say started off like with Led Zeppelin. Love Jimmy Page, just all the kind of weird stuff he does with guitar.
Yeah.
Although I'm not that kind of player, you know.
Yeah.
But I liked all the different tunings and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Everybody, excuse me, Alan, but everybody's talking about Sgt. Pepper this week, right? But it was a blank slate back then when you started. When you guys started, I mean, this stuff was all brand new, and every time something came out, it was a new sound.
Yeah. I mean, for Paul and Aurora, it's probably a little different. Aurora's.
Yeah. Well, the interesting about Aurora, as she'll probably tell you, is so she's young enough to be my daughter. My son actually went to school with her, but she likes the same stuff that Paul and I grew up with, or the 80s stuff. So it's.
I was born at the wrong time. Like all my, I was born in 87. So all my favorite bands were like at their peak then. You know, like The Cure and the Joy Division, all the new wave bands.
Yeah. You were born an old soul.
I was. Yeah. I was. I mean, the reason why I started playing drums was, I would say, John Bonham. But Led Zeppelin's second album. That's my earliest musical memory. Hearing my dad play that, and the second I heard it, I was like, I want to be John Bonham. I just don't want to.
He's my favorite as well. Amazing guy. You know, when I was listening to your demos that you sent me, Greg, you know, one thing that struck me, especially on the first listening, was at least in the arrangements and the guitar parts and maybe the way that the song is approached has a U2 kind of a feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Especially your playing. And now that you tell me that a lot of times what happens with your songwriting is you and Greg have kind of a musical idea and you bring Ricky in. Ricky comes in and he... and he listens to that idea, and that obviously has got to influence you as to how you want to approach it, what's a good storyline, what fits with the feel of the music, and that's
and he's great. He's got all these stories in his head, and I'm like, okay, we got to slow down so Ricky can write
something. I'm like the safest version of a schizophrenic.
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, he's stream of conscious. He gets the words right out. I'm amazed. He's a deep thinker, and he's got a lot of...
He's an amazing lyricist.
Since he prayed, I just want to pat himself on the back.
You guys.
I'm envious.
What we'll do is, a lot of this, the earliest stuff we've done, the earliest, like we're doing this for 100 years, but we've been together since November.
Okay, and, I was going to ask that,
and
too.
So,
since last November, so you're looking at like 6 months, 7 months.
Right, right. So a lot of the stuff that we started with was the things that Paul and I had recorded, and then... You know, like I sat down with Ricky and started playing the stuff on the acoustic. Then he started writing it. That's how we do it. Like, we'll play the stuff that we've recorded and written already. And he literally will get on the floor like a little kid with crayons, but he's got a pen. And he just starts writing. And he'll say, keep going, keep going. And then before 2 months, you know, I'd say within 10 minutes, we have a song.
Yeah. So Ricky, the sound of the music is getting into you and making you...
Feel something?
But aside from feel something, feel some sort of imagery or some sort of a storyline, something that hits you to like, wow, this feels like this, and kind of combining the two things.
Sometimes it would almost be easier if someone gave me a theme to write about, but like you guys were asking earlier about influences, I get really nervous at answering that question because I'm like, oh shit, if I say my influences, does that like give me less whatever cred? But the fact is, I grew up like an MK Ultra victim to MTV. So I was introduced. My mom played a lot of music around. My dad didn't, but so I got a wide variety of, like, you know, the typical Beatles, Rolling Stones, Sly and the Family Stone. She didn't listen to much R&B, but probably a lot of like Phil Spector produced stuff, mm-hmm. and, you know, Motown. So then of course when I'm growing up, I'm hearing the current version of all those styles of music, but most of them I got from MTV, and I really love video. I love visuals with audio. So yeah, I'm more of a like performance artist, and mm-hmm. I feel like when I'm writing songs, I'm already excited about what a video would look like or what a stage performance of it could feel like.
Absolutely.
So for me, I guess when I hear the music, like that one we practiced before the show actually started earlier, I just was like, it sounds dark. I'm going to write it about some dark shit.
Yeah.
So definitely the music will tell me what to do.
One of the tricky things was trying to get Ricky to, because the stuff Paul and I recorded, we had just working titles. And so it's sort of like, forget the title. Forget any lyrics we might have written. Just start over, you know. But sometimes it gets in his head that's a title that he might feels like he has to stick to or something. But you don't. Feel free, man.
I'm mad insecure.
Have you ever done it the other way around, where you come in with a lyric and an idea and you kind of have a beat, you know, a rhythm kind of thing, and then you guys work on the musical end of it?
Yeah, we briefly did it. I think, like, you were in Rome.
Yeah.
Because Paul's a real jet setter.
My once-in-a-lifetime vacation.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I have a bunch of songs that I've written, not just as lyrics, but with melody and arrangements in mind, and I'm like a strong Leo, and it's like a blessing and a curse sometimes, but I like that we can barter ideas, you know, but I feel like when it's time to do those songs, I'm going to be like crazy producer mode, because I went to school for recording arts too, feel like I'm a better producer. You understand what it means, like you hear what you hear, and then you have to make it happen, and it's really tough sometimes with musicians, but... Eventually you get there if you just keep trying.
Well, I think one of the keys to making it happen, and I certainly feel like it's happening because I've listened to your guys' demos now, like four songs, whatever, and it has a sound. It's not like this is this and this and that. I mean, it has a sound, and it has an identifiable thing where you hear it. And, oh, yeah. And you got to have that, really. It's the hardest thing X's in trying to, you know, be in the music business is like not being able to be labeled in some way. Like, yeah, they're good, but what are they? You know, it's great for as a musician to be able to have all sorts of styles and have all sorts of influence and be able to use all of them. But it's kind of the kiss of death.
It's also better when you get to tell people or when you don't have to say, well, we sound like this, because you're like, we're just a band writing music. We don't want to have to sound like anything, but we know what we don't want to sound like.
Yeah. I think especially in this day and age, it's really hard to be original. You know, I think
everyone's going to compare everything.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And every genre.
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah. And every genre of music is really saturated. I mean, think about like folk music, even bluegrass music. I mean, that wasn't even, no one knew what it was 50 years ago. Right. Now there's thousands of festivals every year, and there's thousands of bands.
It's
and
huge.
So every genre, and which is great for, you know, people that just love music. I mean, they have such a variety to pick from and stuff. But when you're trying to get out there and plant your seed.
Well, we hope those one percenters use their money for good. Yeah. Like throwing local festivals where they came from if it wasn't Hollywood. And
support your local scene.
And because you need people with notoriety and money and fame and stuff to like make other shit cool.
Yeah.
Stuff. Other stuff cool.
Well, we, you know, up here on Cape Ann, the North Shore is just such a great place for live music. It really is. Think about, you know, we have that kind of thing that a major city has where you can literally, and I say this on my show all the time, you can park down on Main Street or Rogers Street on a summer evening, and you can walk to 15 different bars, restaurants, and hear 15 different types of music.
For sure.
You know, you can hear singer-songwriters, you can hear, you know, blues, you can hear reggae music, and there's hardly ever a cover charge. And so many people live here that do that, and because of all that, so many outsiders that, you know, like, live in Boston or closer to Boston, want to come here and play.
Oh, yeah.
You
know?
So it's you guys are in the right place.
Well, we're going the opposite direction. After we finish this EP, our plan is...
To play on the moon.
To play on the moon.
Yeah.
We got an invitation down to Nashville, so we may...
Yeah.
You're going to go to Nashville?
Yeah, we got a studio.
It's an opportunity to work with a Grammy-nominated producer. So
engineer.
We don't want to say too much just in case it falls through, you know what I mean?
So the plan is we will be launching a Kickstarter campaign in the coming weeks to help fund the travel down there.
Good. So. Well, you know, I lived down there for 10 years. And
what's the best barbecue?
It's changed so much. I was just down there a few months ago. It's changed so much I couldn't tell you. I used to be able to tell you. But Nashville is the fastest growing city in the country right now as far as population.
And they're in the Stanley Cup.
And it's such an entertainment capital
now
that you know, well, like bands like Kings of Leon
come
from there.
Yeah.
And
that's
and you know, there's it was always stigma, you know, country music
country,
and that sort of stuff. But
right.
what is country music anymore? It's
right.
I mean,
it's pop music.
It really yeah. is. I yeah. mean, it's a guy with a cowboy hat and somebody playing fiddle, but it doesn't. It's not Merle Haggard anymore. I mean, it's pop
Cash.
Music.
It's
yeah,
not,
I mean,
right. everybody's still drunk though, right?
Probably
whatever it takes.
Down on Lower Broadway, they are.
Probably.
Yeah,
just want to do another number.
Yeah,
sure.
yeah.
Let's do it.
Black Sheep Stampede.
Let's give him number two.
I do doggy.
That sounds about right.
Wait, doggy number two? That's not the name of the song.
No, I don't know. What are we? Doggy style.
Doggy style.
I like
doggy
this
style.
Dog is blind, but it's about a dog. So, woof.
And you probably heard my dog barking upstairs a few minutes ago. And I guess
good
he was,
old Dan.
He was somewhat
Dan.
The
he loves
inspiration.
This song, right?
Yeah. He's gonna sing back.
You're gonna actually hear him barking as soon as he hears the. I wish I never had it. I want it, but it's just no good. Yes, I want it, but it's just no good. It's just no good. Give doggy a lick and he wants the whole pie. I'ma beg for it till it's mine. Give doggy a lick and he wants the whole pie. I'ma beg for it till it's mine. Oh, until it's mine. We're cutting up the corner, yeah, we're hiding from each other. And you're the one who's got me feeling crazy like my mother. I'm on it and it's just no good. But I still want it and it's just no good. See, now I've lost the battle, giving in the vulnerability. While everyone's around and I sound like the soliloquy. I'm taunted and it's just no good. But I still want it and I think you should. So give it to me, yeah. Give doggy a lick and he wants the whole pie. I'ma beg for it till it's mine. Give doggy a lick and he wants the whole pie. I'ma beg for it till it's mine. Stretching at your walls for another slice. And I'ma beg for it till it's mine. Give doggy a lick and he wants the whole pie. Wants the whole pie. Yeah, I've done this before. Turned my head and my heart into a sore. But I thought I got past it. Only take my hand and let's trip the light fantastic. It's drastic, the kind of way I'm feeling. Friends, they say I need to reel it in now. Oh, it's just no good. It's not that I'm bad, I'm just misunderstood. Just no good, 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 good. Take me for a walk tonight. Oh, I promise that I won't bite. Keep me on a leash tonight, baby, please. And just all the time. Lay down in my bed, that's right. I'm shedding my coat tonight. Don't forget to turn down the light too bright. Now I'm side. Oh, this dog is blind. This dog is blind. He can't read the signs. Well,
this dog is blind. Oh, this dog is blind.
Yeah.
Ruff. Bow wow.
Excellent.
Egg salad. I'm starving.
Yeah.
I'm sitting down. Can I sit down?
Yeah, take five.
There's not much room to move around, but I, in my brain, I'm doing backflips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not only that, but you have to, you know, be conscious that you have a headphone line that's easily tangled around your feet and all that.
That happened a few times already, and I've been known to knock people's wires out of their amps and stuff.
We had our first live performance at Katrina's. Paul had his little gizmo, and Ricky unplugged it all in the middle of the song.
Yep. Trying to steal the show right from the beginning, you know?
Katrina needs that. They need like a little kind of a Who thing, you know, at the end of the at the end of the night, you know, smashing some drums and breaking some guitars and all that sort of thing.
It's what it's all about.
Well, you know, it used to be the old timers, so it's, you know, the place has that that vibe. Yeah. You'll never get the smoke.
Remember
off
the stripper
of those
pole that they added randomly towards
they
the end?
They did. They had a stripper pole.
They did.
And the wet, and then they used to do the wet T-shirt contest and all that sort of stuff.
I didn't
know
that. I never been in there until it was Katrina.
You're kind of maybe lucky.
You're very lucky.
Well, we'll see what happens now with the dog bar moving into the
to Mitch's.
To the house to Mitch's.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
All right.
We'll be there.
We'll be playing
at the wet T-shirt contest.
Yeah. That's my goodness. Do you want to just jump into another song?
I love it.
You guys want to do...
is there a pool I can jump into after? Yeah,
sure.
Let's do this.
Want to do Silence? Silence and Safety?
Yeah.
Should I stand up again?
Yeah.
Now, when you... Just before you do this song, you said, you know, you've been doing an EP, and now you're talking about possibly going down to Nashville and working with a producer down there, right? So, obviously, the goal here is to do a CD and put it out, I guess, or something like that, and...
Right.
Too long. I mean, do you have enough material for that now already?
We're getting there. Before we hit the road to Nashville, we'll probably have a few more. It's not exaggerating to say we probably have a couple dozen sort of waiting.
Ideas, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, but if the future is anything like it's been in the last 6 months, we should have some good material.
We should be playing the Grammys February.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. That sounds
the Rock Revolution.
We'll be opening up.
Has
for
been televised. Again.
Yeah, and this one before we play it. So, you know, you talked about the songwriting process. So, I don't know how you'd like to write, Alan, but I like to sit down on a Sunday morning with my cup of coffee and I fiddle on my acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I fiddle on it, come up with this little intro. And then brought it down to these guys and within 5 minutes.
It comes to me every different way. I mean, the thing that I've realized over the years of writing for so long is that when to finally snag it and say, this is an idea worth keeping on the front burner and working at whenever I get a chance to sit down, whether it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, until I get the breakthrough.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, the start will come from a lyric idea. I'll be driving someplace and bloom. Or other times it's just, you know, I'll be wandering around my house, fiddling on the guitar or playing the piano. But a lot of those things, you know, the initially you think, oh, that's a pretty good idea, but a certain amount of time will go by and you just can't crack that nut.
Right. It doesn't go where you want it to.
Yeah, so I try to move on to stuff instead of thinking that I'm just beating a dead horse, you know. That's...
Question?
Oh yeah, I want to ask all you guys that creative process. You sit down and have a cup of coffee, so it seems to me like that's an active thing. It's a proactive thing. Like, okay, now I'm going to create
Sunday morning.
But yeah. I know it's more than that. So I want to ask each of you guys, how does it come? Like Alan, I'm sure you just mentioned what sometimes riding in a car.
So that's where the idea will come.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to write it down, and or at least remember it.
Or you forget it usually. Yeah.
So is it a sight? Is it a sound? An experience? How does it happen? And each of you answer that for me.
Oh.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, it's good. Hey.
Get out of that cave.
It's different. It's so different, too. So what I do when I have the melody and the line, I mean, sometimes lines will just come to me. It's not like I have to sit and write or think. but I'll record it in my iPhone. I'll record it in my phone and then lose it. So that's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Or drop it in a porta potty.
There's a big story behind all that. Uh-huh.
But no, I just tried
soaking the rice for a while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See if that
no,
works.
It was too late.
That didn't work for you, did it?
But I think that the smartest thing for me to do when it's like a melody, because I'll lose it if I don't record it or write it down and be like, all right, you have to remember this melody, then it's gone. So I just record stuff. I guess it's different with you guys because you're presenting most of the music, and then I'm just like,
kind of similar for you. I mean, it's different. Because I make my own music as well, and sometimes I'll be, like you said, I'll be driving in the car, and because I'm a writer as well. I just published my first book.
Oh wow!
And I'll just come up with lines in my head. I mean, I've always just have stuff in my head, whether it's music or just or lyrics.
Yeah. Jot it down.
Wait. What's the book? So what's that all about?
So the book is called Bloodlust. It's a collection of poetry and one short story, horror fiction. I self-published it, and it's on Amazon.
Yes.
Yeah. It's called what? Blood?
Bloodlust, Blood one word.
On Amazon, okay.
Well, you know, many years ago, John Lennon said, songwriting is 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. Now, what happens with the practicing of, it's an internal kind of practicing in your own mind, your own psyche, to be able to snap that thought when it comes, or that melody or something, instead of just like, lost that one. And the more you do it, the better you get.
Right, it's a 10,000 hour rule, right? Yeah. You've done it so long, and you do it, it just, you know, comes to you.
And Ricky, with your lyrics, what I, you know, at least for me, what I see is a good pattern for you, which, you know, is that when you let your stream of consciousness go, you get into a lot of like, you know, inner rhyming kind of things within verses and stuff that you know. Gosh, you can work on that forever, but if it just doesn't come natural, that's hard to do. So that's a good point.
The stuff he does, it flows, fits so easily with us. So I should mention, my children's book, Fresh Eggs, the second edition, has just been released onto Amazon.
There we go.
Wow.
As far as my process, I don't drink coffee, but I hate coffee, actually. But I usually write on my 12-string electric guitar because that's kind of the sound I like. And then before we had the band, and it was just the two of us, Paul and I would record. I'd do the bass, do some drums, and just as like demos. But now, because I don't have to worry about finishing a song, you know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, well, I know he's going to write the lyrics. I know she's going to come up with the beat. And then Paul, I'm usually saying, here's what I did on the guitar. You take it. And then I do the bass part.
Yeah.
So it's...
But that's writing it.
Yeah.
Then there's recording it and producing and this and that. And I actually like that whole experience, but...
So, Paul, do you have stuff that sort of accumulates during the week, and then on Sunday you just let it all come out and have the copy?
Yeah, use this. I used to write. I have notebooks full of lyrics and chords that I, you know, write down. Now I use it on my iPad. I have this program called Music Memos.
Mm-hmm.
So you just record it right there, and it saves the
That's awesome.
Technology, yeah. Right? I mean, I have cassette tapes that I probably should go dig out and
I
you
do
know
too.
That, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And there's probably some gems. There's probably some gems in there.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Finding some means to play it.
But the next one we're going to do, Silence of Safety. We were rehearsing it, and Paul
Roberta,
was,
Ricky.
Ricky was hearing something.
People are like, "Why is there like three extra people in this band?"
It's all his personality. Ricky was hearing something, and we just told him to dance it out. And then Aurora picked up the beat.
Oh, because I got in one of my things where I'm like, I'm a bad musician. I don't know how to say what I feel and what I mean, but... I danced it out. I literally...
But the one thing we typically
she
do
was
is...
like, I'm sorry, okay.
We pluck out an obscure lyric to become a title. So that's... Because Paul has a hard time kind of with titles, so...
Well, it's working because you guys have a sound and you have an approach that you know, has just seemed to naturally form, and it's working.
All right. Well, let's form this one.
Turn the mics off.
I'll turn the mics off. I think I get the camera where it belongs here.
Hold on, Greg's turning the mics off.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't want to show. Okay, good. We're good.
Little Reeve? We good?
Yep.
Give some reverb.
Oh, yeah, Reeve. Check. No reverb.
Perfect.
Three,
keepers of the cold thoughts walking on by. Hit me with the low shot, suffering sigh.
We belong in the silence of safety. But in this time that you really can't take me, really can't take me. Long go the blind. Just another chance, another goodbye. Gone in the tap of a finger, the blink of an eye. I'm moving forward this time. Thinking of apologies, then I ask why. Two different words, so I better not try. And I expect nothing from your little sweet self. It might be my fault, but I guess you never can tell. Guess you never can tell. Long go the blind. It's just another chance, another goodbye. Gone holding the tap of a finger, the blink of an eye. I'm moving forward this time. Long go reply. Just another chance, another goodbye. Gone in the tap of a finger, the blink of an eye. I'm moving forward this time. I'm not feeling bad, I'm not looking bad. I'm not feeling bad, I'm not looking bad. Well, I'm not feeling bad and I'm not looking bad. Oh, I'm not feeling bad and I'm not looking back, not looking back. We need to argue, we need to fight. We need to go through the wrong to live right. We need to scream and to kick and to cry. Cause I want my sanity, my cake and my pie. My cake and my pie. My cake and my pie. Cake and pie. Belong in the silence of safety.
Yeah. Silence of safety.
Silence of safety.
Yep.
Seance of silence.
Seance.
Seance.
Great stuff. Great stuff. You want me to talk about what's coming up here too?
Yeah.
First of all, you're coming up on your first year anniversary. I think you said, and on June 14th, you got Dan King and Dave Maddox coming in. I just played with those guys last night at Jalapenos, and Dave Maddox, he's going to be fun to have on the show. He's been played with everybody. He used to play with Richard Thompson in Fairport Convention. He's played with Paul McCartney,
George Harrison.
Yeah, I think Phil Collins. He's done. He's a Brit, He played with a lot of those guys over there, and that should be good. And that's on June 14th, and June 15th is your 1 year anniversary, and that'll be your 17th show, I think you said.
17th or 18th, I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, and Dan was the first guest, so he'll sort of be here to kick off the new season, as it were.
Great. Yep. And on July 12th, you have Fosse Jaw.
Fosse Jaw. They're
Fosse Jaw.
A good, excellent local band, young guys, and a gal, and can't wait to get them in here.
Yeah. Now, are they, you might have told me this before, but are they playing out locally at all?
They're playing around Gloucester and Salem. I didn't make it up to Cotto in Salem last week to see them, but they're on Bandcamp. They have a Facebook page. I urge people to check them out. Fosse Jaw.
Oh, Chris Langathianos' thing that he does, Bandcamp?
Oh, no. Bandcamp is
website.
Unrelated. Yeah, it's the website with...
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, you should eat at Kodo because they have awesome sushi.
All right. Hey.
Okay. And karaoke every Thursday.
Yeah.
He's got to finish his
notes. Sushi and karaoke. Okay.
They should sponsor this show, Rick.
And they have goth nights every, once a month, right?
Hopefully more.
And then you said also, Greg, and save the date. August 27th, we will have a big announcement at our June 14th show, and that's something that you're doing at the Mile Marker, right?
The Mile Marker. So everybody stay tuned, save the date. It's not going to be too expensive, and you get to see a lot of really good acts, but I'm not saying anything more until the 14th.
It's going to be like We Are the World. We Are the Town.
Okay. Well, will Black Sheep Stampede be performing?
Probably, yeah.
We might be on tour. We might be on tour in Japan by then.
If we're back from our
if you get Greg
Asian
drunk
trip
on our show on June 10th at the Rum Line,
he'll
tell you.
Yeah, let's buy us drinks. Let's buy us drinks on the 10th, then maybe we'll say something.
Keep on plugging that. So June 10th for Black Sheep Stampede at upstairs
the Rum Line.
$5 cover charge, but it's well worth it.
Oh, yeah.
June 10th, everybody. You heard it first here on Unfinished Music.
Very good.
I think we probably have time for another live song, and then we can talk about our EP, first single off the EP after that.
Yeah, and you want to say for more info on the show and links to on-demand listening of past shows, check out Unfinished Music on Facebook and
MSON,
which is large case.
And MSO News Sports.
NewsSports.com. Yep. Right.
Right. That's our home base.
Yep.
All right.
Okay. So you're going to do another live song?
What are we doing?
We're going to do Solitude.
Oh, my God. Turn the reverb way up, y'all.
12-string acoustic.
See, y'all, I'm ready for Nashville.
All right. Let's do a quick check on the 12-string. Okay.
A little reverb, too, Greg.
Live radio.
Luray Cavern reverb.
Pyramids of Giza. Drives us all apart. We
keep reaching, we keep pulling, so we don't drift back to the start. And it is my understanding that this world is all we have. All we have. Oh. And now I'm picking up the pieces of glass that I can barely see myself in. Another book, another author, another reason to sin. You are my first, just don't be my last. I'm afraid you'll be the next, again, the next lesson life has to offer, offer. Oh. Well, I don't wanna do that again. I don't wanna do that again. Do that again. Do that again. And again. And now I'm picking up the pieces of glass. Thank you.
Wow. Great.
All right, wait a minute. I got to ask Aurora. You mentioned John Bonham.
I did.
And there's a couple of songs I think we all know what lead guitar is. That I think he does lead drums.
He definitely does.
Like
yeah.
In My Time of Dying, something, you know, yeah. Some of those. And that's what you did. That really stood out this time.
Yeah, I mean the way I approach drum parts is I try to like kind of follow the lyrics and the vocal melodies, and I listen to what Paul is saying. And I want to try to kind of match a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trained as a jazz drummer. Leo Shimotaro, he was my teacher.
Leo.
Yeah, good old Leo.
Oh yeah, Leo.
So he taught me well.
Excellent.
But how did you, I don't know how to even ask it. Usually I know drums from timekeeping.
Yeah.
But you opened up the song, you started in, and that wasn't timekeeping. That's what I'm trying to say. That's
lead drums.
Yeah,
I mean, so. I guess that's, yeah. Like, I never really thought of it that way.
The drums are everything in this song.
Yeah. Well, and in my opinion, you know, because a producer or eventually for you folks, if you get to that point, and you do start talking seriously with some sort of a label with some help, they're going to want to know, you know. Talk to you about the first single. That to me is the strongest one right there. As far
it's
as
so funny you. Because a couple people said that.
Well, actually,
as far as the first one, it's yeah. within your sound.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
but it is as far as the structure of the song. It's got the, I don't know, accessibility is a word that comes to mind. And I hate to pigeonhole because I mean, you know, and I know most musicians and songwriters hate to hear that, but
we love it.
They're going to ask yeah, for good. That. They're going to say, okay, what's the single?
This is actually our producer, Bill Bogus, who's local here. That's the one that he said he keeps saying is the single.
And we're fighting him tooth and nail.
We can't. We hate the song.
No, we really don't hate it.
Get used to playing it for many years if it does what you hope it does.
Oh, please. We hope it does. It's easy for me to sing, too, so there's nothing expected of me.
Yep. Well,
So.
In the age of American Idol, we all need to...
Well, I had put it together originally, and then certainly it became a group effort. But what I said to Paul was, I'm looking for something like, what's his name, David Bowie or Roxy Music for the vocal sound, and I think he nailed it.
Yeah, like when I first
nailed it.
When I first heard it, it reminded me of like New Order. I got this '80s like John Hughes vibe.
Can
from
you
it.
Tell?
Should be pretty.
So big. Yeah. That's kind of like where I got the drum parts from. I kind of. Stole a little bit pieces from New Order and Joy.
That's
Vision.
Okay though. That's
I
smart,
think
right?
I think the word is make people borrowed.
Borrowed. Yeah. Yeah. It's no, it's good though. I mean, that's
people
what
people need a reminder.
Yeah.
Well, it's just naturally very smooth. It's a round peg fitting into a round hole, and it just and everybody has their part, and it just
yeah.
just it's one of those songs that just kind of works all across the board.
Yeah.
Well, we did. We recently threw in the 12 string because when we play live, it's just basically. The three of us doing the music, but the 12 string is a perfect fit when it's just us live. But what's on the recording now? There's like what, 150 tracks. So
it's an orchestra.
Yeah, not the days
it's an orchestra.
Tape 24.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It makes Electric Light Orchestra look weird.
So that's one of the reasons I play the way I play is because we sort of need to fill the gaps. You look at all the trios like Rush and the Who.
Yeah.
The bass sort of has to do a little more than just dum dum dum. Oh, so absolutely.
We could change our name to LED Light Orchestra.
Yeah,
we didn't even talk about the 500 band names we.
Oh my god!
Go ahead with that. Yeah.
Yes.
We started out as.
I don't even know if we should do it.
No, I think it's a great story.
You brought it up. You already.
Do we have time?
Yeah, let's do it.
There's not another show.
I mean, I don't know. Paul was like caution horses because you were behind a caution horses truck.
Yeah,
or like a truck.
Yeah,
and it was the Cowboy Junkies. Like when there's,
but the thing is, it's very basic, or not basic, but it's caution horses. There's horses in this truck. If the door opens, watch the hell out. So, and we're like, yeah, that's cool. And then we found out there's another band. The UK, and we want to be as safe as possible.
It's like slow children crossing.
Yeah,
that kind
slow.
Of
that's what we should have. But then it turned into a Google Drive shared folder with like, all right, everybody give your ideas. And it's like 500 names later, and I don't even know if I'm exaggerating.
It was about
well over 170. Yeah,
yeah.
But and then we didn't even name ourselves. We had help from a friend, but it happened,
and
we thought it sounded
that's
good.
Begging to be asked, how did you come up with Black Sheep?
Bill Booth.
Yeah, our producer was taking part in the 170 names, and we came up with a name that we sort of we all said we like these five names. I like these five. I like it, and then we had that sort of crossed all of them, and we went with that. But none of us really liked it. And then so Bill was basically like,
"This is what you guys
enough
are called.
This. You Black Sheep Stampede. That's it."
Like, but isn't that classic? The producer names the band or the artist sometime. That's like part of the gig. You got to give up something.
Johnny and Bravo. It totally makes sense because we are all.
We're all black sheep.
And we're stampeding.
We're just a bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to stampede.
All the dust is coming up from behind us, and we're falling down, but we're getting back up.
But so the we've been working on the EP almost as long as we were together.
Alive.
We started here at Beachbrook Studios, and then we moved over to record with Bill. And
Bill is local, too?
He's local, too. He lives out here in West Gloucester. And
he's got his own studio?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
the boy.
Well, we won't talk too much about him right now.
The bedroom tapes.
But it's but Bill was he's a Berkeley guy, and he's done some stuff. I know he did with Peter Wolf. He worked as an assistant engineer on the Peter Wolf album in the recent past. So he's been sort of like the sometimes he's a thorn in our side, but he does push us to do more than we would have settled for,
mm-hmm.
But the EP,
which is why we are where we are right now. Like I don't mean like where we are. Like we're on the top of playing on top of the Empire State Building. But I mean, sometimes you need someone to remind you that you're not perfect and try that again or write an extra verse. And I'm like, okay, cool, direction, guidance. I'll freaking take it.
Yeah. Well, if the end result is a better song. And a better performance and a better arrangement, go for it.
Yeah,
that's what you're trying to accomplish.
He got me recording with a metronome. I haven't done that since I first started playing drums 15, 20 years ago. Almost.
The story of the solitude drums.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he had me, I think I recorded my drum parts at least two separate times, maybe even three.
Well, started here once and
right.
I think three. This past
three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it helped, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the song we're going to debut... Solitude, Paul could talk about, because one of his neat, interesting tunings.
This is Babylon.
Solitude. Not Solitude,
Babylon. Road to Babylon.
If people go to blacksheepstampede.com, they can stream it off our website. And in the next few days, it's in the process of being approved by CD Baby, so it'll be on all the streaming sites, and we'll have a free download for at least 30 days.
Oh, good.
But for now, they can stream it from the website, and they'll get to hear it here for the first time. Ever.
Yep. We love our fans and our non-fans.
We're going to make new fans with this.
Absolutely. But, extra.
You're going to have to turn on the fan because it's so hot, this track.
One of the things I do when I host the show is I like to ask about gearheaded type stuff. So since you're a musician, and Paul's tuning is a little unorthodox for this song.
Yeah, I tune the, on this upcoming song, I tune the E string down to D and the... A string down to G.
Oh, okay. So it's drop D, but the A string goes down to G. And what key do you actually play it in?
The song is in G.
Okay.
But I got some interesting chord combinations.
And I tune all my strings to F.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On this song.
On this song. Where do you hear it?
And I don't know what any of that means.
So this is you're going out of the show on off the show with this too. So yeah.
Right.
I should say thanks for having me on and having me be a part of it, and I wish you folks the best of luck. Black
thanks,
Sheep
Alan.
Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
thank you.
You've
so
been
much,
a great
yeah.
interviewer.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Keep on working at it, and keep
roll.
On writing, and most of all, keep on having fun.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's what I thought about.
All right. So.
Disorder, I'm throwing all the punches, but still can't roll.